The Trump administration continues its crackdown on Huawei. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio. The Trump administration is dramatically escalating its attack on the Chinese telecom giant Huawei. Last night, the administration said U.S. companies will need a special license to sell anything to Huawei. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer is here in the studio with me. And Nancy, what are the implications of this?
It's a big deal for Huawei, Kimberly. Huawei buys semiconductors from Qualcomm for its cell phones. It also uses U.S. technology in the gear it sells, tech from companies like Oracle, Microsoft, and Intel. Huawei sells its equipment all over the world. The Trump administration has been urging other countries not to use Huawei to build out their new 5G networks.
And why is that?
Well, the White House says it's a matter of national security. It says Beijing could order companies like Huawei to hack into products they sell to other countries, like the U.S., to spy or disable their communication networks. The U.S. puts companies on something called the Entity List if they're seen as a national security risk. And that's where Huawei is now. Other companies have been listed because U.S. officials decide they're a terrorism risk or want to stop the spread of weapons of mass destruction.
Nancy, thank you. Walmart is set to report its earnings this morning in just a few minutes. The world's largest retailer has said U.S. tariffs have had a limited effect on the company and its customers so far. We'll learn today if that's still the case. Marketplace's Ben Bradford reports on how Walmart could look to manage the latest round of tariffs.
Walmart said in February its supply costs had jumped 3%, but it kept consumer prices mostly flat. That was before tariffs on Chinese imports like gas grills, travel bags, and electronics jumped from 10 to 25%.
Once tariffs go up to 25%, there's very little that retailers can do to absorb that cost.
Hun Quaik at the Retail Industry Leaders Association says more proposed tariffs take effect this summer, and consumers will ultimately pay. Sucharita Kodali at Forrester Research says that's true, but
it'll take a while for it to adversely impact Walmart.
Kodali says Walmart and other retailers have stockpiled products in anticipation of more tariffs.
First of all, we need to get through all of the merchandise that's already in distribution centers here.
Then the cost increase from tariffs must overwhelm Walmart's suppliers, so they pass it along.
This is all at least 12 months away.
At which point, she says, Walmart will have to decide how much to pass on to customers. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Asian markets closed mixed today. The Shanghai Composite Index in China was up almost 0.6%, and the Nikkei in Japan was down almost 0.6%. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up ahead of market open here in the U.S. in the 2 to 3 tenths of a percent range, with the Dow future up 78 points. Let's talk about climate change. The temperature on Earth has already risen by about 1.8 degrees Fahrenheit since before industrial times, and it's expected to continue to go up, bringing a whole host of side effects that are estimated to have a major impact on the global economy and each of our lives. Marketplace tech host Molly Wood is looking at the tech solutions for surviving climate change on her show this week. Good morning, Molly.
Hey, Kimberly.
So tell me more about the problem of climate change, specifically how much this is going to cost.
Right now, the United Nations puts the total cost to society at $54 trillion at a minimum by the end of the century. And there is a lot more conversation now about this idea that we need to put money into technologies to help us adapt and survive the worst effects of warming.
And are we doing that?
To some degree. So it is really only recently, in fact, some experts will say within the last year or two, that we're starting to see more money, more investment, more serious conversation around adaptation. In many cases, that has meant government money or nonprofit money. It's starting to include private money too. In fact, one of our stories this week was an interview with a managing director of a private equity firm called Lightsmith Group that's funding some of these technologies. But their managing director told me that less than 5 to 6% of all finance in the sort of climate world is directed at adaptation.
What does some of that tech look like, though?
I mean, it could look like a lot of things, but Jay Coe, who is the managing director of the private equity firm I mentioned earlier, Lightsmith Group, had kind of a great thing to say about the technologies that we tend to think of when we think about adaptation.
Part of the challenge here has been when most people try to imagine what adaptation means, they think of giant seawalls around Manhattan or putting domes over cities or some kind of futuristic Jerry Bruckheimer scenario.
And I admit that as a sci-fi fan, I have been guilty of imagining those same things.
Right there with you.
Yeah, exactly. But there will be entrepreneurs. There will be innovators who come along and have these innovative ideas for things we've long thought of, like distilling clean water from the air. We talked to a company that's working on that, that's trying to make that more efficient. Our series is kind of going to get to follow some of this technology almost as it's invented.
All right. So where do you go next in the series?
So we're obviously inundating people with it this week. And then moving forward, we'll have a story every 2 weeks looking at adaptive tech and climate change. And hopefully people will help and bring us their ideas and email us and contribute on the website. And of course, you know, subscribe to Marketplace Tech wherever you get your podcasts.
Molly Wood, host of Marketplace Tech. Thanks, Molly.
Thanks, Kimberly.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.